welcome to this week's edition of the Video News InScreen Media Podcast. This is Will Richmond from Video News, and Colin Dixon from InScreen Media joins me. Hey, Colin, you feeling better this week?
I am feeling a lot better. Still a little bit hoarse, but much, much better than last week. And I tell you, I'm pleased I'm feeling better because it's going to be a busy week for us next week. We are both at NAB in Las Vegas. And you have been curating a really interesting program for the show. Spend a couple of minutes. Tell us what's going on.
Yeah. So as you said, next week we'll both be in Las Vegas at the NAB show. And I've been putting together a full day program there, partnered with the NAB show called the Online Video Program. And we have 8 sessions throughout the day. Our keynote is in the morning. We're going to be focusing on news and how CBS News Digital is really kind of reimagining what news delivery can be for the millennial generation. So really excited about that one. We have our keynote speaker is Christy Canner from CBS, so she's going to be talking about that. Then we've got 8 sessions throughout the day. You're going to be moderating a session, What's TV's Next Act, just after lunch, right?
That's right, and I'm really pumped about that session. I've got Brightco, Verizon Digital Media Services, Cinecore, FreeWheel, and Tegna. And we've already had our prep call, and boy, it's going to be a great session. So I hope our listeners can show up and listen to some of that.
All right, well, I'll be there, that's for sure. And so that's NAB show. Hopefully we'll see a whole bunch of folks that we know, be able to say hi and catch up a bit. So getting into this week's podcast, Colin, you are going to carry us a bit today because you had 2 very interesting items on your site, InScreen Media, this week. First one, Sign of the Times about the DVD business. High-end player Oppo has basically shut it down. So why don't you go ahead and tell us about that?
Yeah, so those of you who maybe have been out and purchased a high-end disc player in the last several years, well, you may well have purchased an Oppo digital player. They were the most reasonable priced, I think, of the high-end players, and they really are tremendous. I have a standard def DVD player that's still going, that still does great quality, really, really high-end performance. But unfortunately, they've made the decision to bow out of the US market. They are a US-based company, and they're just stopping. The way they worded it was kind of interesting. They're starting to stop manufacturing on April 2nd, and they're going to really just focus on supporting the existing products that they have in market. And this, apart from making me a little bit sad, because I think they're a really great company, I went back and I started looking at the data, and boy, you can absolutely see why they are shuttering their disc business and getting out of the business. So I went back and looked at, first of all, I started off with some Nielsen data, Will, and I looked at the penetration of DVD Blu-ray players in consumer homes, and it basically peaked in something like 2011, 2010 at about 85%. And going all the way through to 2017 now, this was Q2 data from 2017 from Nielsen, it's fallen to 72%. So that's a pretty big fall. But here, the reason why is pretty clear. And that is, we're just not renting or purchasing discs that much anymore. And if you look at DEG numbers, the Digital Entertainment Group, you can see just how clearly we are turning away from discs. Back in Q4 2013, we spent $2.8 billion on discs, giving them away as gifts, I expect, for the holidays. But this last Q4 2017, that had just about halved to about $1.5 billion. So that's pretty interesting. Rentals also have toppled. They've fallen even more. Disc rentals went from $0.5 billion back in Q4 2013 to just 200 million in Q4 2017. So big decreases in discs. So simple reason that we're not using that disc player very much is we're not renting and we're not buying discs very much.
Yeah, I was going to say, Colin, when you say that 72% of homes still have a DVD player, the follow-on question for me is, and what percentage of those homes that still have a DVD player even use them, let's say, once per month? I know ours is still there. We'd be part of the 72%, but it's collecting dust. We haven't used it in ages.
Exactly, and mine's the same, Will. I think I used it for the first time because a friend of mine lent me a Blu-ray disc a couple of weeks ago, but that I think was the first I had to reconnect it. Just completely disconnected. But the other thing, what Oppo did, and one of the reasons I was talking with them about 5 or 6 years ago, was I was really talking about the opportunity for Blu-ray players to sort of step up and become part of the new economy for video by including clients like Netflix and whatnot on the players themselves. And that's what Oppo did. The problem that they have really faced, though, is that, that it's great that they do two things and consumers do like the fact that a single box does multiple things. The problem is that the digital side of the equation for ownership and for rentals hasn't done well either, and that there are cheaper solutions for just regular old streaming and doing everything else. So, you know, basically what's happened over the last few years is, of course, the big story in video formats now is Ultra HD with high dynamic range, HDR. And there is now a new standard ratified for Blu-ray for Ultra HD with HDR. The problem is that it took so long to ratify. Before the standard was ratified, in other words, before you could buy a player or buy a disc, you could already stream Ultra HD and HDR content from sites like Netflix and from Amazon and Hulu. And today, if you look at the market, now we have a ratified standard and you can go out and buy an Ultra HD player and Ultra HD discs. There is so much content now on Netflix and Hulu and Amazon in Ultra HD. Basically, all of their new stuff is in that format. And in addition, you can rent discs or buy them from services like Vudu. You can rent the movies, digital versions of the movies in Ultra HD. But the problem is for Oppo is that you can buy a Roku for $50 that does Ultra HD and HDR. So, you know, there is just right now, there is no compelling reason to go out and upgrade your disc player to Ultra HD because you can get all of the content that you would want to watch in Ultra HD online. And, you know, are people seriously going to go and upgrade all their discs to Ultra HD? Well, I think the answer is probably not, right?
Right, of course not. That's a good analysis, Colin. It shows just how much the market has changed and how the streaming players have really sort of captured the opportunity to move into UHD.
Indeed. And so I think it's a good call on behalf of the company. Sad to see them go, that's for sure. Great products. But, you know, this is a classic example of just the market that they were serving. It's just in serious decline and really so shows no sign of coming back anytime soon.
Absolutely. Well, one of the downsides, if you will, of being able to stream Ultra HD is that it is a bandwidth hog, right? And you've experienced that personally, and you wrote about your experience this week, which I thought was really fascinating.
I did. I think I'm not sure even people are aware of this, but most people now do have a cap on their broadband. And it's when they were instituted by companies like Comcast and AT&T, it sounded fairly generous. They were giving us 1 terabyte. And, you know, when they first introduced this, most people weren't coming anywhere near using all of that terabyte cap. Well, last year, middle of the year, I happened to check my bill. And like I expect most broadband providers, they tell you on that bill how much data you've been using. And I was shocked to see that I used 800 gigabytes of data in 1 month. So in other words, I was only 20% away from my 1 terabyte cap. And so this was pretty appalling to me. I went back this week. What I did was I went back and I actually calculated out, okay, so what if a cord cutter now, they've got a virtual MVPD, which they're watching broadly like they used to watch their pay TV provider. They're watching the occasional movie, and they're doing a lot of streaming from Netflix. And so I wanted to find out, okay, so what's the impact on their broadband caps? And what I found was pretty scary, Will. If you're watching a normal amount of television, what the average person is watching usually, and you're watching most of that in HD, what you will find, even if you're watching zero UHD, is you're probably going to be getting up towards 800 gigabytes a month. So you're already using about 80% of your cap. Now, if you start watching UHD shows, if you end up watching, let's say, 2 UHD shows a day, and as I say, it's pretty easy to do. Netflix has most of their new content now is UHD. Same with Amazon and Hulu. If you watch just 2 UHD shows a day, you end up hitting your broadband cap. You're going to get about 995 gigabytes of monthly data. That's not even including anything else that you're doing. So if you're downloading file updates or messing around with personal video or anything like that, you're going to go over your cap with just 2 UHD shows a day. So I thought that was pretty surprising. So what I'm using is I'm using data from Netflix. It could actually be worse than this. Netflix says that they're streaming Ultra HD at about 7 megabits per second and regular HD at about 3, 2.5, something like that. So I use Netflix numbers. It could be that services like Vudu are actually streaming at higher bandwidths to get even better quality video, because of course Vudu, that's one of the things that they're known for, is very high quality. So you better really start, if you're starting to watch UHD, you better keep an eye on your broadband caps, particularly because it's very difficult to control your consumption, and here's why. I just got a new TV and it has Ultra HD, and when I went in and looked at the Netflix client, I know that you can control your quality on Netflix. You can set it, for example, if you're really worried about your cap, you can set to only stream in standard definition. Well, it turns out with Netflix, you cannot control whether you stream a show in Ultra HD or HD. They're both the same setting. So you basically have a best quality, which means you're going to get UHD or HD. Or you have to step down to standard def. And so I went back and I also looked at Amazon and Hulu. They have no controls. So what that means is, if you're watching on your Ultra HD television and you're streaming through that television, you can't control what quality that video comes to you at. If it's available in UHD, you're going to be streaming it in UHD. And so many of their shows now, Will, are in UHD. Almost all the new content they're creating is in UHD. So this is a really interesting situation and a kind of a tough situation for consumers, because if you want to watch in HD, well, that's one thing, you can do that. But controlling your consumption of UHD to stay below your terabyte cap is going to be a real problem, I think, for people.
Now, of course, with Netflix, you have to subscribe at the UHD tier in order to get any of that in the first place, though, right?
You sure do. And I subscribed to that tier, but I didn't subscribe for UHD. What I actually subscribe for is you get four streams at that tier, Will. And I have several, I have people in my family now that are out of my home, but still, I still wanted to cover with my subscription. And by the way, I called Netflix and asked them what I should do about this situation. And they actually didn't even tell me to upgrade. They just told me to share my password with my family members. I was quite surprised. But anyway, I upgraded to get the four simultaneous streams, not realizing that I now can't control my data consumption vis-a-vis UHD. So actually what I've done and what I advise listeners to do if they really want to control this is the best way to do it is to use a streaming media player and set the output. Don't set it to auto, force it to HD output. And that way you will not stream UHD. The player tells Netflix that you're HD and it delivers the video to you in HD quality. So that's the only way I could figure out to really control this. But I think it's going to be a problem, Will. I bet there's a lot of people who have cut the cord and are spending a lot of time watching Sling TV or DirecTV Now or one of these virtual MVPDs and are watching it just like they did regular pay TV, probably don't realize how close they're getting to their caps.
Absolutely. And also I would say, Colin, that as there's more 4K UHD content out there, it's going to be promoted more heavily as well. So I don't think we've seen a ton of promotion yet at that level, but no question it's going to increase going forward. And as it does, more people will be adopting, which means to your point, as you well explained, more people with more bandwidth cap pressure.
Indeed. And, you know, one of the things that I think is happening in certainly in US homes is that we are tending towards much bigger television screens now. And on a 65-inch screen, which is becoming much more common in US homes, it is, you can see the difference between a UHD picture and a regular HD. As well, you certainly can't control whether you're getting high dynamic range and UHD. Those two usually come hand in hand. And you can see the difference between an HDR picture and a non-HDR picture on pretty much any size screen. So consumers are probably going to want to stream the higher quality pictures. But boy, when they find out that what it's doing to their bandwidth cap, it could be a real problem for them going forward.
Yeah, we haven't even talked about adoption of 4K TVs, Colin, but I've been amazed how those prices have dropped. I just noticed online the other day, I think it was the Insignia brand of Roku TV, 65-inch to your example just then. I think it was on sale for like $675, which is incredible.
It is pretty incredible. I just picked up a 43-inch Samsung UHD HDR TV, and I think I paid $380 for it. So there's some pretty good deals out there right now. So I'm pretty sure that anybody that is replacing a TV is probably going to make the smart call and get a UHD TV with HDR. So I got a feeling that this is going to become an increasing problem. And as several people have made the point on my site commenting on this piece, they're really quite mad at now the broadband providers who set the caps at that seemingly unassailable 1 terabyte, and suddenly it's not so unassailable.
Well, why do I have a feeling that those broadband caps are going to go up, although potentially with an additional rate increase?
Oh, I'm sure that that's the case. One thing I don't know for sure, Will, I can't remember. I think the way when you hit the cap, what happens is that you just get an extra 50 gig. Like, I think that's the deal with AT&T, but you pay for it. I think it's an extra $10 to get that extra 50 gig. Yeah. So, I think people are going to start to see this impacting their bills.
Yeah. Well, Colin, good discussion, starting with Oppo, of the shift from disk to streaming and then transitioning into HD and UHD streaming, and what that means for broadband data caps. Pretty amazing transition that we've made in a pretty quick amount of time, right?
Yeah, it is. It is absolutely amazing that we've, you know, basically we can do everything we did with disks directly online now, and that's a pretty interesting statement.
It is amazing. Well, I think that's all we have for this week, Colin. So, again, we are both at NAB Show next week. Hopefully some of our listeners are as well, and you'll find us and come say hi, right?
Oh, I hope that that's the case. People usually do. They're not shy, and I hope they continue to not be shy. Come talk to us.
Okay, cool. And that's all we have for this week. So, Colin, pleasure chatting as always, and thanks, everybody, for listening in on this week's edition of the Video News In Screen Media Podcast, and we'll see you all again next week. We'll